Thank you for being here this morning. Hope you'll stay warm. Thank you for Mike Mangum, and I guess a couple other people were with him as well, chipping away at the ice. I guess they had to get out a sledgehammer in some cases and break that ice. The next 2 weeks, we're going to be looking at Daniel, and it's just going to be like a flyover. There are 13 chapters to Daniel. One of the most powerful books in the Bible, covers so much because there's prophecy there that looks back, looks forward. And we want to look at Daniel as a prototype. He's a prototype, first of all, of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the be-all and the end-all. But even before Jesus came, there were people who trusted Jesus and their lives were changed, and Daniel's one of those people. He is a prototype for us. He shows how, even in trying circumstances, that we can be faithful to God because he's faithful to us. That's the bottom line. You have to go back to the idea that God chose Israel, a little tiny nation. He could have chosen any nation, but he chose Israel. And he said, I'm going to show the world what I'm like to this little nation. And as you read the history of Israel, you'll see that it's up and down. When they follow God, good things happen. When they don't follow God, bad things happen. But here's the bottom line. He never, never has deserted them. It says in the Old Testament, God speaking to Israel, who gave you a bill of divorcement? I am married forever to the backslider. Now, you can take that promise and put it right over in your life if you're a Christian. Because sometimes Christians get discouraged. They get discouraged with their own actions and their own failures, their own weaknesses. You got to see that when Jesus took you on, he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was getting, okay? And he made new creatures out of us through our faith in Jesus Christ. And he wants that to develop and to expand and to reach out to others. As I see my beautiful family here this morning, by the way, I suddenly remembered that we've been married 59 years. Somebody came up and told me to save my life. I said 59. Well, you know, when you have a good time, it just seems you can drop 4 years here or there. But as I look at my own family, you have to realize that Peter's mom and dad, his whole family, way back, Christians, his mom and dad used greatly by the Lord in their time. His dad was the headed up the Alton Bay Christian Retreat Center. And so he comes from a singing family, and his mom, then I think of my own mother and father and how my mother accepted Christ and how that's come right down through our family. God has been good. He uses people to help people. And I have to think that there are at least four grandparents up there that are rejoicing as they look at these great-grandchildren, really, to them, how faithful God is, how faithful God is. So do not be discouraged. We're going somewhere. We're not staying here. We're going somewhere. We're going to heaven because of Jesus. Now, we want to serve him as we're going, so Daniel is the perfect prototype to learn some of the things that happened with Daniel. First and foremost, Daniel was a prisoner. He was a captive. What had happened is God told Israel, bottom line, he said, if you obey me, I'll make you the head and not the tail. But if you disobey me, I'll disperse you among the nations. See, what happened was Solomon, the empire or the country of Israel, was never greater than they were under Solomon. But Solomon allowed his heart to go astray. He's a man of great wisdom. God gave him great wisdom. That was the gift he asked for. People came from miles to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But the problem with Solomon is he allowed his heart to go astray. And his heart was led astray by his foreign wives. And here's the man who built the temple of God, great, wonderful temple of God, the wonder of the earth. And then he allowed his heart to be led astray. And he winds up building shrines for foreign gods. Watch your heart. That's what the Bible says. Keep God of your heart. What are you loving? Are you loving God and his word? You're going to come out on top. But if you allow your heart to go astray, then bad things are going to happen. So what happened? God told Solomon, because you disobeyed me, I'm going to dissolve the kingdom. I'm going to split the kingdom, but it won't happen in your day. So what happened was we had a northern kingdom who went, they became apostates pretty rapidly. They were the bulk of Israel. And then we had the southern kingdom where Jerusalem was, the temple was. And so it wasn't for a long time that they gradually went into apostasy. Apostasy is not being lost so much as it is departing from the living God in your heart and mind. So as a result of that, and you can read this in Daniel chapter 1, God gave Jerusalem over to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar could never have defeated Jerusalem unless God allowed him to. And so Daniel and three of his companions are taken as young men. Not sure of the age. Some translations say children. I don't think they were children. I think they were young men. But see, King Nebuchadnezzar had an eye for people who could help him. Even though he's a heathen king, he had a good intellect. And so he's choosing these cream of the crop, if you will, to be brought back to Babylon, to be trained in the Babylonian ways so that they could then perhaps go back to Jerusalem and kind of run the country for him. And there were a number of them that went. And so the first thing we see with Daniel is he's a prisoner, okay? Now, in some ways, everybody is a prisoner. You're in this, you know, Job said, you have ribbed me up. You know, our spirit is in these bodies. And so in some ways, we are prisoners. In another way, we're born into a family we didn't know anything about. We knew nothing coming in. And so God has put us where he wants us. But he wants us, mostly, spiritually speaking, in the family of God. So Daniel goes into Babylon to be trained. He had no choice in it. And I want to point out to you that as you look at the Bible, you'll see a number of times that people that God uses in a deeper way sometimes are prisoners. Right away, you got to think of the Apostle Paul. He's in jail, and he's writing New Testament scriptures. I think if Paul had his own way, he'd be out preaching, teaching, evangelizing, helping people. But God put him in jail. He said, I am the prisoner of the Lord. The Lord put me here. And whatever circumstance you're in right now, God put you there. And you can be a light there. And so Daniel accepts his fate, if you will. I don't think that's a really good thing. But he winds up in Babylon, of all places. He's a Jewish young man, and he's a godly young man. When you learn godliness young, it's going to help you throughout your life. And so Daniel goes there. So the first thing we want to see is a prisoner. He accepts his place. But the second thing we want to see is that he was pure. And by pure, when the Bible talks about pure, it doesn't necessarily mean there's no sin in your life, okay? But number one, it means that you have a purity, a sincerity of heart that you want to serve God, okay? And when you have those things, God is going to continually work in you. The first big test for Daniel was the king said, all right, I want to train them. And he changed their names. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the names, okay? But when he changed their names from their original names, he added one of their gods. So he's identifying them with his gods. And they had a number of gods, okay? But in their hearts, they knew who they really belonged to. And that plays out in the whole book, that they stayed faithful to God under a lot of persecution. First of all, the man who was in charge of them comes in and says, look, the king wants you to eat from his table. He wants you to eat the things that the Babylonians do. And right away, Daniel's got a problem. And because he can't eat anything that's not kosher. Now, that's an Old Testament thing, but it has a spiritual application, okay? In our lives, what are we eating? I'm not talking about physically. What are we taking into our brains and our hearts? See that? So you want to make sure you're eating the Word of God, for one thing, okay, so that you stay on that diet. So Daniel, when he realizes that they want him to compromise and not eat kosher food, and to eat the wine or drink the wine and eat the exotic meats that they had in their culture, he inwardly said no. Now, all through this, you're going to see Daniel's intelligence and his tact at work. He could have said to the steward, "No way! Didn't you see my bumper sticker? I don't eat non-kosher food, non-kosher food, okay?" But that's not what he did. When he talks to people who are unsaved, and he's a prisoner, he talks with tact and with wisdom and with politeness. He's not going to eat the food, even if they, no matter what they do to him. But first of all, he tries to resolve it in a nice way. And he said, look, he makes the arrangement that they're going to just eat vegetables, he and his companions. And don't forget here, he's got these other three guys. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they come into play later on. But all the time, he's got their fellowship, and he's a leader of them. He's setting the pace. And they're resolved to stay true to God in a society that they're foreign to. Listen, you and I, we don't live here, okay? We're foreigners in this world. We are ambassadors for Christ. That's what we're called to be. We're not supposed to be in the world, okay? And the world is not supposed to be in us. Now, we're in the world in the sense that we should be having an influence, but we don't want to take on all of the world's influence and so forth. So Daniel speaks kindly, politely to the man who's in charge, and he said, look, we can't eat those foods. And the guy says, well, look, and by the way, you can see in the text, he really liked Daniel. You can get a lot further than many people have said with sugar than you can with, or honey instead of vinegar. So he really liked Daniel. And he said, look, the problem is if I let you change your diet, the king's going to see how terrible you look. Okay? He's going to see how terrible you look, and, you know, I'm going to lose my head. You have to understand about these kings, okay? With Belshazzar, not Belshazzar, with, help me out here. Yeah, that's him. All those kings had absolute power over all their subjects. He could have your head cut off. You were not supposed to come into the king's presence with a frown on your face. You're supposed to always be smiling because you're in the king's presence. And if you can't smile, you better plaster it on, baby, because you can lose your head. See, these kings were, in some sense, were like little kids. And if you ticked them off, you were gone, okay? So the steward says, look, this is what's going to happen. He's going to see you guys are all run down, and he's going to blame me, and I'm going to lose my head. And Daniel says, look, let's try an experiment here. For a month here, let us just eat vegetables and then check and see what we look like. Now, my daughter Amy is leading the Daniel diet in another church, and it's all about how you eat. And with Daniel's diet, the real diet in the Bible, they come off looking better than the guys who are eating the king's mead and, you know, the wine and so forth. So, you know, when you stand for God, things will stand up. You can have it tested, all right? So they've made that, and they're seen as distinct. Now, they're classified. They get taught in all the science and, you know, health and astrology, all the things that the Babylonians knew. And they picked it up quickly. That's why they were picked. They were the cream of the crop. They could learn quickly. And so getting an education about the culture that they were in was very important without losing their commitment to the Lord God Almighty. They didn't forget that. So Daniel stayed pure, okay? And then the third thing he does is he becomes a prophet. Now, it tells us in the Bible that Daniel already had that gift of prophecy. You know, as you read Daniel, you can't help but think of Joseph. Joseph, God arranged it so he became a slave and a prisoner in Egypt. And as you trace the story out, you see he remained true to God, and he winds up speaking to the king. Now, I got to ask you, how would this little tiny nation, at that time they're just a family, 75 people, how would they ever get the ear of the king of Egypt? God did it. He said, it's gonna hurt for a while, Joseph. You know, it comes clear to him later what's really happened here. And God took Joseph. It was unpleasant, OK? Okay? And he allowed him to be taken as a slave, rejected by his brothers, brought down into Egypt. He seems to be doing fairly well down there. And all of a sudden, he's accused of rape, and he's thrown in another jail. Wherever he goes, he becomes a leader. And he doesn't lose the dream that God gave him, that one day you're going to be glorified. One day, as you follow me, you're going to be honored. And so he doesn't lose that idea. And so he finds himself, a couple of prisoners come in, they've had dreams. Can you explain the dreams to us? They explain the dream. He explains the dream. One is good, one's bad. And Joseph said, well, when you go back, when you're reinstated, don't forget me. Bring my case before Pharaoh. They forgot all about him. 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream. And so the baker remembers, you know what? You know what? There's a guy in jail there, and he knows dreams. He can explain dreams. Okay? So Pharaoh calls for him, and he gets to get in the ear of Pharaoh. And because he got in the ear of Pharaoh, he saved Israel. He enriched Egypt, but he saved Israel. Okay? This was all God's plan. So Daniel is very similar. He's been given this gift by God to understand dreams. Now, other people that Nebuchadnezzar trusted in these areas, some people think that he didn't really trust them because he had inherited them from his father. And he didn't really trust them because they were always trying to cozy up to him. You know, always trying to get his favor, give him a good answer to whatever dream he might have or whatever. So he has this dream one night. And he's very troubled by the dream. And so he calls his boys in, and he says, look, this is what's going to happen. This is going to be a little different. Instead of me telling you my dream, and then you tell me what it means, you tell me what the dream is, and then tell me what it means. And they're tearing their hair out. They're like, I can't believe it. Nobody can do that, and so forth and so on. And, you know, this will just give you the idea of the power that this king has. If you don't do this, I'm going to cut you in little pieces, and I'm going to make your houses rubble. And he had the power to do that. And they were petrified. Now, Daniel wasn't there when he said this, his threat. But the threat included Daniel and the other three Hebrew children. So Daniel hears about it, and he tells the warden or whoever's in charge, I can interpret the king's dream. So the king goes back to Nebuchadnezzar, and he says, I found a man. See, he didn't find him at all. Sometimes you got to volunteer. It's not the army. Sometimes you volunteer to do service for the Lord. So what happens is, even though, and this is an important thing, even though you might have a gift that God has given you, even though Daniel had this gift, he got the other three Hebrews together, and he said, let's pray that God will give me the interpretation, even though he had the gift. See, that's important. And so, sure enough, God tells him what the dream is. All right? So Daniel goes in, and he goes before the king, and he's the only one who knows the dream, and he knows what it means. And he tells the king. Now, here's an important point for you and for me. As you know the Word of God, you know the Word of God, you know that a person has to trust Jesus Christ or they're not saved. That's fundamental, okay? There are tons of people out there that don't know that. You see that? So you and I need to ask God, give us opportunities to help other people to see, not a dream, but the revelation that God has given in His Bible so that they can be saved too. So Daniel says, and this is where he phrases it. It's very important, okay? He doesn't say, you know what, king? God gave me the revelation, and I'm going to give it to you. He said, God has given you this revelation. You see the little thing? He skips over himself there. God has given you this revelation. He wants you to know. And that's exactly what Joseph said to Pharaoh in Egypt. God wants you to know, and that's why he's there. And so Daniel, he tells about this dream. You can put that that picture up, if you would, of the statue. There you go. Now, he tells him about what he's seen, And the head of the statue was gold. And he said, that's you. Because first he tells him what the dream is all about. And then he points out who it represents. So the first thing, the head, is actually... I'm having a problem remembering the guy's name. Nebuchadnezzar. He said, that gold head is you. Okay? And all the others are metals. There's copper. There's iron. And finally you get, and there's silver. And they all represent Gentile kingdoms. Okay? And then he said, when that statue was built, and by the way, the toes, the 10 toes, they're iron, but they got clay mixed in. This all has, we don't have time to go into it today, but it all has prophetic significance in how that happens, okay? This is the future, okay? We're just a little ways away from that stone coming, okay? That stone, see, in the Bible, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, you know that. But he also represents the kingdom of God, which is going to come on the earth, because it tells us that in many places in the Old Testament. You can look at Psalm 2, okay? And it talks about that. Now, as Daniel's explaining it to the king, he said, there came a stone from the mountain. Now, you got to really read that scripture. But that stone came from the mountain, and it destroys the statue. Those represent earthly kingdoms. And that stone represents Jesus Christ, and his kingdom is coming. And he says, when that stone hits, it comes from a mountain, and that mountain grows and encompasses the whole earth. See, Jesus Christ is coming. Now, we Christians, I hope we believe and know that he's coming for the church. Okay, he's coming for the church, rapture. Every Christian is going to go. Well, just a good Christian is going to go. There are no good Christians. Okay? Everybody's going to go. Whether you just got born again yesterday or today, it doesn't matter. When Jesus comes, the whole body's going. Okay? He's going to take us back to heaven. Now, when that happens, that initiates what happens here. This is not the rapture. This is the second coming. Okay? And this is when Christ establishes his kingdom in the earth. He is going to rule from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. Okay, he's gonna take the throne of David, and he's gonna rule the kingdoms of the earth. As you know, we've all seen them. I remember going to the movies as a kid, and there was some crazy scientist that wanted to rule the world. Okay, well, as you read the story of history, you see that again and again, and you see that in the book of Daniel. You see that in the Bible. Kingdoms rise, kingdoms fall. Man is at war with himself. He's at war with God. Each one is trying to have his own way, okay? And these kingdoms rise for a little while, and then they're destroyed. Rome wanted to conquer the earth. Okay, where are they today? Where are they today? This is the kingdom that's going to stand. This is the kingdom that's going to stand forever, because it's built on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and we've been studying in Matthew, and we see that Jesus is warning the Jews there. When he first came in the Gospels, he's presenting himself as a representative of the kingdom of heaven. And he's telling them, this is what John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is coming. And when Jesus started preaching, he didn't say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. What he said was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is coming. Same message that John the Baptist had. Now, we know the story. They increasingly, the leadership, now we're talking here about leadership that's always responsible before God, much more so than individuals. Well, individuals are responsible too. But leadership in particular is held responsible. And the leadership of Israel rejected the Messiah. Okay? And so he said, he talked about himself as a stone that people stumble over. Okay? In other words, they're looking at his Jesus, the lowly Jesus, humble. He doesn't come with angels. He doesn't come with an entourage. A bunch of fishermen, maybe. You see? And so they stumble over him. Even though he fulfilled every requirement to be recognized as the Messiah. He did miracles that nobody else ever did. He forgave sin on earth. And they said, who has the right to forgive sin except God only? You got that right. Because this is God in the flesh, and he forgives sin. He forgives whoever he wants to forgive. Okay? Remember, I love this story. You remember how the four friends, we all should have friends like this. This man was paralytic, and they picked up, each one picked up a corner of his mat and carried him before the Savior. And Jesus looked at their faith. That's what it says. Not just his faith, but their faith. This man had faith. See, you don't let somebody carry you where you don't want to go unless you have faith too. So here's five guys that got faith. And he says, son, your sins are forgiven. And right away the Pharisees were, who can forgive sin but God only? This is blasphemy. He said, what's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or take up your bed and walk? Well, obviously it's easier to say your sins are forgiven, because who can tell? But if you pick up your bed and walk, that shows that you have this power. And they had it right. Only God can forgive sin. Here's the one who is God, who is going to offer his body, soul, and spirit for the sins of man. He, if anyone has the right to say your sins are forgiven, it's him. It's him. And that's what he wants to do. And so this kingdom is going to be set up. Why? You know, I'll tell you what will be success for this particular sermon this morning. If you go home and sometime this week, read the book of Daniel. This is a powerful book. This is a powerful book because you see God working in the background. And this is what's going to happen. Jesus Christ is going to be extolled. Why is God angry with sinners? The Bible says that he's angry with the wicked every single day. When they wake up in the morning, God is angry with them. When they go to bed at night, all through the day, God is angry with the wicked. Why? Because he's paid it all, and they're not paying attention. He's not angry because they're an alcoholic. He's not angry because they're a prostitute. He's not angry because they're a crook. He's angry because he's given his only begotten son on their behalf, and they're acting like nothing's happened. Don't let this happen. You know, let's stay close to Christ. Let's be compassionate to people, but at the same time, let's have that conviction about Jesus, because we've experienced him. We know what he's like. We want to know him better, right? We want to know him better, but we know he's been kind to us. And not only that, he gave us this. He rose from the dead in a real body. I love what Spurgeon said. The stone of the tomb was not rolled back so that Jesus could get out. That was rolled back so you and I could go inside and see he's risen. He is risen. Have you ever let the impact of that hit you, grab you, think about it? He is risen. And this is what he said. I am the resurrection and the life. So if you have Jesus, if you have faith in Jesus, that much. If you have that much faith, you have life in Christ. Now you want that faith to grow. And how is it going to grow unless you read the Word of God? Read the Word of God. I'll end with this. True story. There was a young man, and he got saved. He was in a bad relationship. He was using drugs, all the bad stuff. And he got saved. And it was miraculous. I mean, really, his life just turned around for about a year. And then he fell back into the old ways. Fell back into the old ways. Is that me? Yeah. I got power, baby. He fell back into his old ways. And I had talked to him a number of times. I didn't see him often, but when I did, this is what he said to me. Denny, only my mother ever called me Denny, but he called me Denny. Denny, he said, I don't know what's wrong. I need something. And I said, well, tell me, are you going to church? No, but I need something. Are you reading the Bible? No, but I need something. Are you praying? No, but I need something. You get the picture. Okay. What does he need? He needs that Bible. He needs to go to church. He needs to pray. Okay. See, all of us would like to have this one big experience with God. And then we don't have any more troubles. Everything's cool. Well, read the history of Israel. You know, you got to work this word in so that it works out. Okay. And we have the big problem. Look in the mirror. Number one problem. Okay. But God has given a solution to that. He's taken the old person and nailed it to the cross with Jesus. So he's not looking at your sin now. He's looking at the new creature who is made perfect in Christ. The Bible says we are complete in Christ. Think of a newborn baby that's born healthy. It's everything's there. The only thing it needs is growth. Okay? Stay in the Word. How many people, look at me right in the eyeball here, how many people will read the book of Daniel this week? I'm trusting my family is going to raise their hands. All right, okay. No pressure, no pressure. No, seriously, though, read this book and capture what's going on. Next week, we're going to look at some more of Daniel and see how he continues on as a prototype of the attitude that we ought to have. Okay, okay, let's have a word of prayer. And then I guess, Peter, well, why don't you come up and... leading the last song, and then I'll offer prayer at the end.